You know, the Marine who led the charge up Mount Suribachi on Iwo Jima in World War II died last year, in February of last year. He died in Arvada, Colorado. His name was John Wells. John was 94 years old. He didn't make it to the top of Mount Suribachi after he took multiple enemy rounds and was severely wounded. But he continued to command, leading his troops up that mountain. And eventually they raised his men, the first flag on Iwo Jima. And we remember the second iconic photo of the second flag raising that was captured and is in statue form in Washington, D.C., that we're all familiar with. But John Wells was the one who led his men up that frontal assault up Mount Suribachi. He was a very warm, sensitive, spiritual man, his daughter said. He honored and loved the Marine Corps with all his heart and soul. He loved his family, and his last words were, "My family." With courageous leadership, his citation read, "An indomitable fighting spirit, he led demolition teams from one enemy bunker to the other, knocking out at least 25 emplacements in the process." And then it continued, "In the face of intense hostile machine gun, mortar, and rifle fire, he continuously moved from one flank to the other to lead assault groups one by one in their attacks on the Japanese emplacements." There was another man who demonstrated an indomitable spirit, a courageous attitude, a spirit of sacrifice, a spirit of determination, and that was Caleb. Caleb in the Old Testament demonstrated these very same qualities as John did. Caleb was a direct descendant or a descendant of Esau who had been adopted into the tribe of Judah. And by the time of our scripture passage for this morning in Joshua chapter 14, he was a leading figure in Judah. Caleb was. He had came to claim his inheritance in the promised land, and he had come to claim Hebron, which was one of the highest locations in the land and best pieces of real estate in Canaan. Hebron was a very special place in the Old Testament. It's where Abraham lived. And it's where he and his family were buried. It was where Abraham built his altar to the Lord in worship to God, and where much of the covenant between he and God was made. It was where God spoke to Abraham in this area. As Hebron literally means communion or fellowship, it spoke of sweet, unbroken fellowship with the Lord. Do you catch a sense of why Caleb wanted this piece of real estate above all others? He had probably been there many years before. Do you remember when he, along with the other spies, some 45 years before, went into the promised land in advance of the Israelites, who were poised and ready to cross over into the promised land? And once they got there, what did they find? They found this land flowing with milk and honey, this land that was fruitful in an abundance. And after the spies returned, remember, 10 out of the 12 exaggerated what they had seen and said that the people in the land were giants. And as a result of what they saw or what they claimed to see, the land could not be taken. But Caleb and Joshua begged to differ. Caleb and Joshua basically said, "Hey, let's go. With the Lord's help, we can do this. With the Lord's help, we can take it. We can do it." The people plotted to stone them because they had this attitude in their leaders, because they dared to say this. And in his anger, remember, God turned his people away from the promised land and made them wander 38 more years in the wilderness. And that entire generation of men, 20 years of age and up, died in the wilderness. But because of their faith and determination, Caleb and Joshua were spared. Again, Caleb was 40 years old back when that happened. And now it's 45 years old, 45 years later, at the age of 85. And he's still as strong and vibrant and determined as ever. He's ready to go. "Give me this mountain," Caleb said to Joshua. "This mountain, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Undoubtedly, Caleb had made this choice because of the terrain, the well-fortified terrain, and it presented to him the greatest challenge for him to overcome. He had that kind of spirit at 85 years old, this unquenchable spirit and tremendous faith. Caleb was just the man for this job, to take this territory. And even though others could justifiably say, I've already paid my dues, I've already put my time in, I've already raised my kids, I've already served in the church for many years, it's time for me to retire. It's time for me to kick back and take it easy, finally, in my Christian life. He simply wasn't ready to quit being challenged. He was saying, not because I'm entitled to this, give it to me because I'm not going to stop living for God. I'm not going to stop living for the Lord with all of my heart and all of my strength like I've always lived for him. Caleb still wanted the challenge that most others would avoid. But listen, here's another reason why I think Caleb wanted this mountain. Here's another reason why he wanted Hebron more than anything else. Caleb wanted nothing to stand between himself and his relationship with God. I think that's why he wanted Hebron. He wanted to raise his sights and go to higher ground where he could feel that much closer to God. He could get that much closer to the one who had given him victory after victory in the past. He wanted to be that much closer to God, who would give him the strength at 85 years old to continue on and to accomplish this task, and who would give him the rest that he would need in the future. And his mind and his heart were so focused on God that he would allow nothing, no obstacle, no problem, no burden, no difficulty, no opposition, nothing to stand in the way of his relationship with God and obeying God and bringing further honor and glory to his name. You know, it started out like so many evenings before. Mom and Dad were at home and their son Jimmy was playing dinner, and Jimmy's parents were so absorbed with their jobs that they didn't note, and they were so tired they didn't notice the time. And it had gotten late in the night, and it was a full moon, and some of the light was shining through one of the windows of their house. And Mom glanced at the clock and said, Jimmy, it's time for you to go to bed. Go up to bed now, and I'll come up later. Unlike other times when Jimmy would resist, Jimmy ran right upstairs to his bedroom, and straight upstairs, an hour or so later, his mom came into his bedroom to check on him, and was, to her astonishment, found her son staring out the window at the moonlight or the moonlit scenery. What are you doing, Jimmy? I'm looking at the moon, Mommy, he answered. Well, it's time to go to bed now, she said. And as one reluctant boy settled down for the night, he said this, Mommy, you know, one day I'm going to walk on the moon. One day I'm going to walk on the moon. Who would have known at that time that boy named Jimmy Irvin, who was so focused heavenward that night, he would later survive an almost fatal motorcycle accident where almost every bone in his body was broken. But he would go on to become the astronaut who would one day go to the moon and step on the moon's surface as only one of 12 representatives of the human race to do so. Jimmy had that kind of vision. Jimmy had that kind of perspective. And here's the point of this sermon. Like Caleb and others, maybe it's time for us to raise our sights to higher ground in our Christian lives. Maybe it's time for us to say and mean it, give me this mountain. It's time for us in this church to lift our eyes above our circumstances, to lift our eyes above our weaknesses, to lift our eyes above our failures, to lift our eyes above those things that might divide us, above those things that would distract us away from achieving our purpose as Christ's church, above our pride, to the things of God that we will enjoy the superabundant life that he's promised. promises us. It's time for us to raise our sights and to set our focus on heaven, as Paul says, and to realize our potential in Jesus Christ and do even greater works for Him in this church and in our Christian lives. It's time for us to set our hearts and our minds above, not on earthly things. As the beginning of Hebrews 12 says, it's time for us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and run with perseverance the race that has been marked out for us. It's like what David writes in Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. And where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Brothers and sisters in Christ, would we have this attitude in our Christian lives? This attitude of, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. Give me the one who made the mountains. Let's not be distracted about by anything or discouraged by anything or divided from one another about anything in the church, and live. Let's give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Some years ago, a widow shared her story. Her husband, who was only 39 years old, died in his sleep of a massive heart attack one night. And that day had begun just like any other. She was 37 years old when he died. He was 39. Her kids were 15, 8, and 6. She said this, I wasn't a Christian when he died, and at first, the burden was so heavy. I thought that God and everyone else had forsaken me and that life was no longer worth living. But somehow, in the midst of my struggles, God found me and lifted me up. I'll not tell you that we didn't have troubles. I had rebellious teenagers and troublemaking ends meet. I had to work day and night to be both a mother and a father to them. But now I look back on all that, and I can see three beautiful children, happily married, raising their children in the church. And I know that through it all, through the tears, through the trials and the tribulations, God never let us down. God never lets us down. Adoniram Judson once said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that? The future is as bright as the promises of God. I want us to bow our heads right now. Bow our heads to the God, before the God of the mountains. Raise our sights to God in unbroken fellowship with Him and considering the endless possibilities that He has for us in our lives, the superabundant joy that He wants us to possess in Jesus Christ. Father God in heaven, we thank You so much for this reminder this morning of this heavenly vision that we all need to have, that Caleb demonstrated before You and with You, even at the age of 85. He never gave up. He never wavered. And for us, Father, who become discouraged at times, even as Your children, help us to hang in there, step by step, day by day, faithfully serving You, doing our very best for You, and realizing that we have the same power within us that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Father, we can do great things for You, even greater things, Jesus said, as we continue to spread the gospel, the good news of Him. Father, in this church, we can raise our sights. We can do even greater things for You. We will allow nothing to divide us, nothing to separate us from one another, that we will stay united together for the one cause of glorifying Your name in the name of Jesus Christ and leading other people to Jesus. We thank You so much for Your love. Help us to enjoy and to have this kind of unbroken fellowship with You in our lives and with Christ. And again, consider that nothing is impossible with You. Again, we thank you for Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our salvation, without which we would have no hope, without whom we would have no hope. And thank you again for the sacrifices made by those who have served our country. We especially remember them again. Celebrate, Father, their lives here today and throughout this weekend and throughout the year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.